Amen. All right, let John chapter number 8. We are going to start at verse 32. I'll give you a little insight on this. I found it very interesting when I was preparing for this message. You'll see there our theme for this morning is truth. And it was funny, after I prepped this message, I got home and I got in bed last night. It was around 11:30, somewhere around there, and my phone rang, and it was a friend from long time ago, and he has been backslid. And so I picked up the phone and I was like, I hope everything's okay. And I start talking to him, and about 5 minutes in the conversation, he's telling me, you know, I'm back in church, I'm going to church. And I was like, praise God. And then the next words out of his mouth was, but I'm not going back to that church, you know, I'm going to a different church. And I was like, man, I was like, if you're in the church that preaches truth, I was like, that's okay. If they preach what is right, they preach, but, you know, that is truth. And he started laughing. I was like, uh-oh, what? And he's like, I would consider it truth, but I don't know if you would, because I know what you believe. And immediately my heart kind of sank. And I was like, look, I was like, you know what I believe, but the Bible is truth. If they preach the Bible, then I back you up going to church. I was like, if it's not Bible, I was like, you know what I believe. And he's like, no, I'm still the same person. But I found it a big coincidence that phone call happened immediately after I was studying for this. So, amen. That was a little sidetrack, but we still got to believe the word of God, the truth, nothing but the truth, the whole truth, all of it. Amen. John chapter number 8 and verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we'll skip a couple chapters and go over to John 14. Man, John 14, verse number 6. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man, if you want to flip over 3 more chapters, John 17, we're going to go to verse 17. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And you don't have to turn there. I added this one this morning. But Proverbs 23:23, it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. You can put your Bibles down. We can... Let's begin to ask God to pray. I'll give you my title, but let's ask God to pray and move in this service this morning. I believe God has an agenda. I believe there are several people in here that God wants to reach for, that God is reaching for. And I believe we need to tap in tune on this fine Sunday morning. I know the pastor's not here. I know we're all possibly tired. But I believe that there is an objective that God wants to complete. And if we can all focus and dial in, I believe God will speak to us and move in a mighty way. Oh, that's it. Let's pray and ask him, God, speak to me, Lord. I'm not concerned about everybody else, but deal with my heart this morning, God. Oh, that's it. Can we lift him up right now? Let's give him glory this morning. God, we praise you, Lord. Just have your will, God. Let your will be done. We lift you up this morning, Jesus. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord this morning. The Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you this morning, and you may be seated. Amen. I'm not used to preaching in the morning, so if I say tonight, just know you know what I'm meaning. I'm meaning this morning. That's all I'm used to is nights. Amen. John chapter number 21, verse 15, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Amen, amen. For a little period of time, I'll give you my title. I'm not going to be near as long. I'm not long in the beginning, but I'll be even shorter probably than normal. But I'm going to preach to you, what does this truth mean to you? What does this truth mean to you? Amen. I did not know how complicated truth could be when I started digging in and studying for this message. And then I really got to thinking about it, is I don't think that truth is not complicated. For me, I like to think of truth as black and white. It is or it isn't. You know, what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. That's truth. There should be no in between or what ifs. And that definitely stands for the Word of God, that we don't get to pick and choose what we want out of the Bible. We don't get to pick and choose a doctrine. We don't get to pick and choose what God's words are and who we want to take, Peter or Jesus's words. The Bible is the same. The Bible is the Word of God. God said He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means we can't go out changing the Word of God. We can't take anything out or add to it. The Bible says He is a thief and a robber. We've got to stay in the truth. Stay in the book and in the Word of God. No matter what source of government says. No matter what else any other religion might say. The Word of God will stand forever and throughout eternity. Amen, amen. Amen. And as we were thinking, I was this generation, you know, I found on a website, it was called Psychology Today, and they read some massive long paragraph on what exactly is truth. And they started going around and they're like, oh, Socrates said it was this. And, you know, going, I was, this makes no sense. It looks like a bunch of people trying to twist what truth is to fit their needs, to fit their problems. Rather than correcting what they're doing wrong, they don't like to be told what is wrong. I think we see that even more now than ever in these day and age, you know. This generation does not like being told, hey, you're wrong. You're wrong. If you try to tell someone you're wrong, you're going to get hit with hate speech. You're going to get told, hey, why do you hate me? Why do you hate me so much? It's like, I don't hate you. I just disagree with your opinion. I disagree with what you're doing, you know, because right is right and wrong is wrong and you're wrong. You know, that's might not say it exactly like that, but that's truth is truth. Truth will never, never change. I'm not again to dive into politics, but Charlie Kirk, he had a great saying about truth, and I wrote it down. I really like this definition. It says, truth is not determined by the loudest voice, but by reality itself. And I feel like in today for sure, people think the louder they get means they're right. The louder they are pushes their opinion and their agenda on us because they're right and this is becoming their truth. But I'm sorry, whatever the Bible says is still truth. I don't care how loud you get. I don't care how right you think you are. The Bible is the truth. Amen. Amen. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Isaiah 40:8. I have a lot of scripture this morning. It says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. No matter the change in times, no matter the change in dates or how far ever this may go before the Lord returns, the word of God will stand forever and never change. Amen. Amen. Another thing that doesn't change is how we are to make it to heaven. how we are to be saved, the plan of salvation. We are to be born again, and there's no way around it. There's no accepting the Lord as our personal Savior. There's no confessing our sins to a priest. Although he is our high priest, we confess him to God himself. But we're not confessing to some man in some booth. But this is the word of God. We are to be born again by water and the Spirit. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is flesh, which of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. There's no getting around it. We must be born again. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Peter gave us some pretty defined steps on what being born again is. After Jesus had been crucified, rose again, we see all of these people in an upper room tearing for the promise that was upon high. And it goes down the line, you know, and Peter begins, a rushing mighty wind comes in, fills all the house where they were sitting. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they begin to flow out of the upper room. And they're saying, hey, these men are drunk with new wine. And Peter said, these are not as drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third, I think, beloved, said the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he begins to preach more, and he got very pointed with them. There was no holding back. They weren't taking offense at all. But he says, that same Jesus who you crucified, you did this. And being like, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. You, this same Lord who you crucified, is both Lord and Savior. And they looked at it and said, men and brethren, what must we do? And then Peter said, with the rest of the 12, all of the other disciples there, Peter began to preach and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Means it's not stopping back in the old days. It wasn't just for them in the New Testament, but it's still for us today. It's for all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. This truth is not changing. It's for you and your children. It's for my children and their children. This truth is forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had Brother Greg put a little steps up there. And I like to look at Acts 2:38 as three different steps. The first one, repent. Repentance is necessary. There's no getting around repentance. Repentance is a truth. It is something that we must do. 2 Peter 3:9 said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's Peter writing in Luke 13:1-5. Like I said, you don't get to pick and choose who you want to say is what. Said there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled in with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There's no getting around repentance. We must repent. We must turn from our wicked ways. You've heard it said before, it's an about face. If you're doing wrong, you got to completely turn away and not go back to it. We must repent of our sins. Amen. Second step is baptism. There's no step around baptism and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, that is the only way to be baptized, is in Jesus' name. Amen. It says there in Acts 2:38, where Peter is preaching, it says, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 19, we see it again. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as even heard that there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto, what were you baptized? And they say, John's baptism. Then Paul, so this still ain't Jesus, this is Paul. John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon him, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. But I have one more, and this is, you say, well, that's not Jesus. All right, well, here is one. Mark 16:15 said, and he said unto them, go ye all into the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That is Jesus speaking. You are required to be baptized in Jesus' name. If you want to wash those sins off of you after the repentance, you've got to go down in the blood, down in the name of Jesus. Let those sins wash over you. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. If you want the favor of God to fall in your life, we got to fall in love with truth. All of this right here is truth. Repentance is truth. Baptism in Jesus' name is truth. Need to be infilled with the Holy Ghost is truth. Holiness is still truth. Without that, you can't see the Lord. Living right is truth. Living godly in this present world is truth. Being separate from this Lord, touching not the unclean thing, is still truth. Truth is not changing just because we're in a different day and age. We've got to love truth. In Jesus' name. Oh, let's worship him right now. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you truly love truth, it's nothing to see the blessings of God. I believe the Bible says, you know, what is the most important commandment? And it says, love the Lord thy God, who our God is truth. So love truth with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That is the first and that is the most important commandment. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with truth. He said, and all the others shall fall into line. If you love truth, you're not going to have a problem with wanting to steal. If you really love truth, you're not going to have a problem wanting to murder someone or commit another sin. Love the truth with all of your heart this morning. In Jesus' name. So this is the part that I really want to get to. And that is, what does truth mean to you? What does this truth mean to you? Daniel 3:16. I'm going to give you some examples of those who truly loved this truth. That no matter what happened in their life, they loved truth. Amen. Daniel 3:16. And I preached about this 3 weeks ago. But I'm going to look at it different. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known. So, but if not, if our God does not deliver us from this fiery furnace, just still know, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These men had such a love for truth in their heart. that even the thought of being burned alive did not change their mind. They had a love for truth. They had such a desire for truth to keep living the right way. No matter the just death looking them in the face, they did not change or waver. This is how we have to love truth. This is what we need to bury in our hearts with truth. We can look at David. David, from a little boy, loved truth. David loved the things of God. David loved it. And we could see when Goliath stood up, that something, a fire kindled in David's heart. I don't care if I'm a teenager. That man is defying the armies of the living God. And that is not okay with me. And David made a stand for truth that day. And God moved and helped David to conquer Goliath. We see battle after battle of David being successful. But it wasn't because of David. It was because of God. Truth shall endure forever. Truth prevailed. We've got to fall in love with truth. Jesus' name. We can look at Daniel in the lion's den. Doesn't matter what was facing him. David still prayed and was tossed in the lion's den, and God saved him. Esther, I believe she loved truth because she received courage to help her people. She had a love for truth. Elijah did not back down when it came to praying fire down from heaven in front of 450 prophets of Baal and the king. But truth does not always end in beautiful stories like that. Because you can look at Stephen and how Stephen made a stand for truth. But yet it didn't end well for Stephen. Stephen still died. Stephen was stoned. But Stephen had such a love for truth buried in his heart that did not change his opinion. That did not change his mind. Stephen loved the truth and died for the truth. So I ask you this night, what does this truth really mean to you? And I some questions started coming to my head. It was like, if God walked straight up to you and said, hey, quit your job. There's nothing. I'm not giving it a reason or anything. I just feel you need to quit your job. Now, I feel like all of us would be like, yeah, that's no problem. This is Jesus standing right in front of me. You know, I can quit my job. But there is a time when we are in prayer or the pastor's preaching or another preacher is preaching. And the word of God begins to come over the desk. And God starts dealing with us in our own heart. And yet it's easy for us to block and push that aside and say, that's really not the voice of God. It's goofy for me to give up my job. That's just a weird feeling in my heart. But I want to know, what does this truth really mean to you? Would you really give up your job to stay in the truth? Even if there was no reason, but God said to do it and dealt with you, would you do it? Amen. Let's stand here this morning. I want us all to bow our head and close our eyes. Because I really believe we all need to contemplate, what does this truth really mean to us? What does it mean to us? The Bible says in Revelations, it talks about, hey, Church of Ephesus, you have everything right. You've done everything right. You've done nothing wrong. You dress the part. You act the part. You show up to church. But you've left your true love. You have left the truth. You have left me. Do you really love me? And that is what we see in our text. When Jesus is talking to Peter, he said, do you? He had to ask Peter and not ever have to even be asked. But he asked Peter, Peter, do you love me more than all of these? Do you love me more than all of these? And I wonder if there are some people in here tonight where God is sitting back and he's asking you, hey, do you love me more than school? Do you love me more than extracurricular activities? Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than the amount of money you make? Do you love me more than other reasons? You put the reason in there. God's asking, what does this truth mean to you? Do you really love me? And I ask you tonight, what does this truth mean to you, child of God? These altars are open this morning. What does this truth mean to you? In Jesus' name. You can look at Stephen. All this truth meant to Stephen was a couple pieces of silver. Stephen sold out for silver. Are you going to sell out for a raise at your job? Is that all it's going to take is to get you to miss church? Oh, what does this church, this truth mean to you? Jesus' name. Oh, let's pray. Let's pray. Oh, hallelujah. I really felt in my spirit that God's trying to reach somebody. Oh, you're putting life, your life things above this truth. You're putting things above God. And you say, no, I'm not. I'm still coming to church. Yeah, but that's not all coming to church is. It's coming and falling in love with this truth. It's falling in love with Jesus. Doing whatever it takes, God. I'll do whatever, Lord. I want to love this truth, God. Jesus' name. Oh, come on. Maybe it's not a job. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's something. Whatever's hindering you from making that connection with God, that's what I'm talking about. There's a disturbance between you and God. There's not a full, entire love with this truth. We gotta love this truth with all of our heart. Oh, yes, somebody help me pray.